Turn back to Psalm 34. It is truly a humble privilege to be among this number. And I'm not talking about just us who are preaching. I'm talking about all of God's children. It's a real privilege to be put among the Savior's family. You're the family. This is the family that's going to last. I said to the church at Ashland the other day, I said, all relationships, all of our fleshly relationships are going to be dissolved. I have two sons. They have confessed Christ. That which is of me, that is in them, is going to be laid in the grave. God's going to lay that in the grave. But that which is born of God in them and that which is born of God in me is going to last forever. And that's the family. We'll stand there as brothers one day in Christ, praising God. And I'm glad that that which is in me, that's in them, is going to be laid in the grave. I'm glad it's not gone with us. We got to put up with it until the Lord takes us home, but I'm glad He's leaving it behind. There's some things I want left behind, and that old me is one of them. I want us to look at Psalm 34. This poor man cried. When I read scriptures like that, I can just feel it in my heart. I can just feel what this man is saying. Not just read it, but I can feel this poor man, this poor sinner cried. Now he says here, in verse 1, we see the poor man's praise. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. It takes a real work of grace to be able to do this at all times. I tell you what, it takes time. We don't grow up in a day. It takes time to be able to bless the Lord at all times. The child of God knows that all his times are in his hands. All our times are in his hands. Look over in Psalm 31. I believe it's Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Look in verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Aren't you glad of that? I am thankful. I can truly say I'm thankful that my times are in His hands. I can lay down and rest at night because my times and your times, you who believe God, really everybody's times, everyone's times is in His hands, but especially our times. And all that we shall endure in time comes from infinite wisdom. Not random. It comes from infinite wisdom. Every tear that I'll ever shed, God took it into counsel, saw that it was good, and said and established it, and decreed it, and purposed it in infinite wisdom. God has decreed all of our good times and hard times for His glory and our good. And we will bless the Lord at all times. Why? Because He's God. That's why we will bless Him at all times, because He's God. I'm not going to bless Him just when I'm feeling good. And if I have a bad day, I don't. We bless the Lord at all times because He's God. He doesn't change. You know, the Scripture says the Lord is good, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. It doesn't change God. God is who He is. And we will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, Job, God took everything he had. And he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And his praise shall continually, constantly be in my mouth. Praise replaces cursing, doesn't it? It replaces cursing now. What a change is made when God takes possession of the heart. There's a real change made when God takes possession. And He boots the Satan out of there. Grace in the heart is evidenced by our speech. Paul said, let your conversation be seasoned with grace. Like you would season your meat with salt and make it taste good. He said, let your conversation be seasoned with the grace of God. And then here's the poor man's resolve. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Here is another evidence of a work of grace in the heart. It's who we boast in now. There's a real evidence of grace in the heart. It's who we boast in now. The Lord. The Lord. It used to be self. It used to be. But now, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. God gave it to him. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. God gave it to him. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. I make poor and I make rich. But let him that glorieth, and we will. We're going to glory in something. We will glory in something. But let him that glorieth glory in this. Here's what we glory in. That he understandeth. He's not ignorant anymore. God removed our ignorance and that darkness that we were born into. That he understandeth and he knoweth me. You understand the gospel? Do you understand how God saves sinners? Do you understand how God can be a just God and a Savior? God revealed that to you. God gave that to you. Let him hear that I am the Lord. And he knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. These are the things God delights in, saith the Lord. And listen here. Here's the poor man's company. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. There's some glad people here tonight. We've heard some gospel, haven't we? In the last 2 days, we've heard some gospel. And we're glad. We are glad. The only ones that will be glad are the humble. The broken in spirit, to him is good news. You know, the gospel is good news, but only to sinners. It's not good news to everyone. There's a whole lot of people in this world that doesn't give a flip about what we have to say. And they're not glad about this. Not glad about the messages we've heard. But the humble. Everyone whom God saves, He humbles. And they are glad. They are glad when they hear this gospel message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. They're glad. Not mad. They're glad. God makes them glad. When they hear of the mercy and the grace of God Almighty in Christ to sinners, they're glad. God makes them glad. And then he says here, as if he cannot hold back when he thinks about this, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. This matter of magnifying the Lord is not a secret matter, it's a family matter. Oh, magnify all of us together. Magnify the Lord with me. We have our closet prayers, but we have our family praise and magnifying of God. And that's what we're doing here tonight. Together, we are magnifying the Lord. And let us exalt His name together. Be of one mind and one accord. Paul tells us in the New Testament, he said, to be of one mind and one accord. I tell you this, if the gospel that we preach, the gospel I've heard over the years, if it makes someone uncomfortable, it's because we have nothing in common. Our faith's not in common. Our hope's not in common. But those of us who have been born of God, we believe the gospel. Let's do this together. Let's exalt His name together. Let's praise Him together. If the whole of creation were to do this all at the same time, we'd still come up short. We'd still come up short, Paul. If all of creation did it at one time, in unison, at one time, we'd still come up short. But my soul, let us do it anyway. Let us not make excuses. An old businessman I worked under years ago, he told me this, and it's always stuck with me in everything I've put my hand to. He said, remove all excuses to fail. Do not give yourself an excuse to fail. You say, well, I know I'm simple. Don't give yourself an excuse to fail. He said, let's do this and let's do it together and make no excuses not to. Magnify His name and exalt His name together. And here's a poor man's personal experience and encouragement to other poor men and women. I sought the Lord. Here's real encouragement for the humble. I sought the Lord and He heard me. If one humble man, if one humble sinner, if one broken, doomed, damned sinner sought the Lord and was heard, so can another one. So can another one. This is encouragement to sinners. So can another one. The Scripture says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. How do we do that? Well, we seek Him in prayer. We seek Him in His Word. He cannot be known apart from His Word. It is not possible to know the Lord Jesus Christ in mercy and grace apart from His Word. Seek Him in His Word. Seek Him in the preaching of His Word. But my soul, seek Him. Seek Him. He says to do it. And He says here, and He heard me. Who heard me? The Lord heard me. Think about who heard. And He delivered me from all, listen, my fears. Oh, do we have many fears? We have many fears. They came with the fall. And then when God awakens a sinner, my, what fears he has. But in Christ, He's delivered us from all our fears. It says this in 1 John 1:9. This is a favorite verse to me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do it. Our God's faithful. And He'll do what He says. Listen to Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. I heard someone say to the guttermost. That come unto God by Him. Seeing He ever liveth now. You know, we look to and believe on one that lives, not one that lived. We look to Him who lives. Seeing He ever liveth right now to make intercession for them. Whatever your fears are, He can deliver you from them. He's able. He's able. And listen here in verse 5, the poor man's encouragement again. They looked unto Him. Who's they? Abraham. Abraham saw my day and was glad. Isaac, Jacob, all the saints of old, all the saints have ever been saved, looked to Him. They looked unto Him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. You cannot look unto God. You cannot look unto the Lord Jesus Christ and remain the same. Can't do it. You can't do it. Look over in Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Let me see what my verse is. Look in verse 29. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wished not, he knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with Him. You can't talk to God and remain the same. He didn't know his face was shining, but I tell you what, everyone else around him knew it. everyone else. We don't detect that as much as those who are around us. Because when we really meet God in Christ, in the gospel, we feel about that big. You feel like you can crawl under a snake's belly. But others that are around you say, there's something happened to that boy. Moses knew not that his face shined, but everybody around him knew it. You cannot meet God and stay the same. There is a real change in everyone that meets God Almighty. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a real change in everyone that meets God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, even you. If God saved you, you've become new. He's made you a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ, a new man, a new heart. You got new desires. You have a new love now. You're new. He said in Revelation, behold, I make all things new. Nothing old is going to be there. Only the new. Only the new. You cannot meet God without a real change taking place. Those who were once darkness are now light in the Lord. Those who were once dead are now alive. Those who were once mean are now kind. Was it Roland Hill said, as a man's religion, he wouldn't give anything for it if his dogs and cat didn't benefit from it. I wouldn't either. They looked unto Him and were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. And everyone who has ever been saved have looked to Him. They've looked to the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When those people were bitten by the serpent, and they put that serpent of brass on the pole, everyone that was healed by looking to that serpent of brass on the pole. And everyone whom God saves is saved looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Saved looking to Him. And here's the result. They were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. And they will not be ashamed. For they have nothing to be ashamed of. All their sins have been taken away. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. Yeah. What do we have to be ashamed of? If my sins are gone, I have nothing to be ashamed of. And if the Lord Jesus Christ did it, I sure have nothing to be ashamed of in Him. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Yeah. They were not ashamed. There's encouragement. And then he says here in verse 6, he returns to his own experience to encourage the humble. But here's something that jumped out at me today. This poor man cried. In verse 5, he said, they looked unto him. And then in verse 6, he said, this poor man cried, they cannot look for me. No one can believe for me. No one can look to God for me. He said in verse 6, now this poor man looked. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. And saved him out of all his trouble. Not the king. I'm glad he didn't say that. I'm glad he did not say, this king cried. Or this rich man cried. Because I couldn't identify with him. I'm not a king and I'm not rich. But he said, this poor man. Everyone here can identify with this one. This can let anybody in here. Anybody. This poor man, he said, cried. All can join in here. This is all that we are at best. Poor men and women. And every now and then we have to be reminded of it, but this is all we are at best. Poor men and women. What do we have? What do you have that you didn't receive? I didn't have anything. That's poor, isn't it? That's poor. That's poverty. This spiritually bankrupt man cried and the Lord heard him. We are poor, as old Cecil Rhodes would say, mercy beggars. Mercy beggars. That's what we are. Mercy beggars. Spiritually bankrupt. That means you lost it all. You lost it all. David said in one place, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. That's the ones he thinks upon. Poor and needy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a paradox. They're poor in spirit, they're spiritually bankrupt, and yet they have all that belongs to God. What a paradox we are. God hears and He saves poor sinners. That's who He saves. He saves poor sinners out of their troubles, especially soul trouble. You have soul trouble, sin, guilt. He saves poor sinners out of those things. He saves old pilgrim out of all his troubles. This man is so poor that even his words are few here. Peter, when he started to sink in that water, the only thing he could say was, help! You know that's enough. That's enough. Help. Now, here's more encouragement. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The angel of the covenant orders His heavenly angelic host to encamp around His saints. God has given His angels charge to keep His elect. We are surrounded by them. I said this last Wednesday night. We are not the only ones in this room. We're not the only ones here. We are encamped round about by God's angels. Kept. We are a kept people. Kept. God has given His angels charge. We are never alone. And it doesn't take a lot of them to keep you either. It just takes one, the angel of the Lord. Look over in 2 Kings. Let me move along here. I want you to see this. In 2 Kings 19:35, or I could just go ahead and read. I had it marked. I want you to notice this. And it came to pass that night, in 2 Kings 19:35, and it came to pass that night, that the angel of the Lord went out and he smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Just one angel, the angel of the Lord. Look how many he slew. What do we have to be afraid of? Oh, he says here, let's go in verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Not just look and see, but taste and see. By faith, feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Feed on Him in His Word. We cannot know the sweetness of something or the nourishment of food unless you taste it. Don't just take my word for it. Taste and see. Peter said, if you've tasted, the Lord is good. Taste and see. And blessed is that man that trusteth continually. Trusteth, his confidence is in Him. Words fail me in describing this blessed man, but Psalm 1 describes him. When you get time, read it. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And then this poor man's instructions here in verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord. He does not say, oh, fear hell. We're not to fear a place. I asked a man one time years ago, I said, what are you afraid of? He said, I'm afraid of going to hell. I said, well, if you find favor with a judge, you won't have to go to prison. You fear the wrong thing. You've got this thing wrong. And religion, just false religion, they've got you fearing hell. That's how they get you to do things. He says, oh, fear the Lord. I can say it like this too. Oh, worship. Because it's the same thing. Oh, worship the Lord, ye His saints, not you rebels, you saints, you elect of God. For there's no want, there's no lack to them that fear Him. Oh, worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Give unto Him the glory due unto His name. He hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture and the work of His hands. Tom, you know why you believe the gospel? Because you can't help it. You believe the gospel because you can't help it. God has revealed it to you. God has given you a new nature, a new creation, and it believes the gospel. It believes God. It believes God Almighty. We are the He hath made us. He has made us believers. He's made us believers. I didn't make myself a believer. He did. He did. And there's no want, there's no lack to them that fear Him. We have everything we need in Jesus Christ. Everything. Now He says the young lions, they do lack, and they suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Those who trust themselves in themselves that they're righteous, He said, they're going to lack, they're going to hunger, they're going to come up short. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They will not come up short when this is over. Not at all. They that seek the Lord for mercy, for grace, for righteousness, for forgiveness, we seek Him for all that we need. You'll not come up short. You'll have all you need. All of it. We have His Word on it. Come, ye children. Here's the poor man's lesson. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. Listen. And I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. He doesn't just say, I'll teach you to fear the Lord. The Lord said in Isaiah, their fear of me is taught by the precept of men. That's not the kind of fear we're talking about here. We're talking about a fear that brings worship, a fear that brings respect, a fear that brings an awe. You stand in awe of God Almighty. You stand in awe of Jesus Christ. You stand in awe of God's grace. Come, ye children. That's the only one that'll learn. That'll learn this fear. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. And that instruction comes from the Lord in you. From Christ in you. He's the one who teaches it. This message is for the children. And He says, come and listen. And I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. We cannot learn a greater lesson. We cannot learn a greater lesson than the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of worship. It's the beginning of happiness. It's the beginning of joy and peace. This fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, real life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Now I'm going to take you over to 1 Peter and let me just read to you from what 1 Peter 3 says. But, you know, I don't know that... He says, come... Or what man is he that desires life? We desire life. Spiritual life. Eternal life. The life of God. That's what we desire, isn't it? I don't know that we desire to live here a long time. I said to the people there Wednesday night, I said, I'm not interested in making a Smucker's jar. I don't want to be on that jar. If you watch the weather, you know what I'm talking about. I'll drop it there, Sandy. I'll leave it there. But he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. The tongue is a little member, but it causes great problems, doesn't it? James says that it is set on fire of hell. Keep it shut up in your mouth. There's a reason why God put it in the mouth. You can shut it up. Learn to shut it. You ever hear someone say, bite your tongue? Keep it from evil talk and evil words. Put a watch on it. Put a watch on it. And depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Evil companions. Teach your children this. Evil companions corrupt good manners. You are who you run with. If you want peace, pursue it. I've learned this. I've lived long enough to learn this. People pursue what they want. We pursue what we want. Now let me read to you in 1 Peter 3:10. No doubt he's quoting from this. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good day, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Boy, the Old Testament, New Testament, they just run together, don't they? Total agreement. Total agreement. And then he says in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Now look in verse 12 if you're still in Peter, in 1 Peter 3 there. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He's got to be quoting from this scripture. We are never out of his sight. We are never out of his sight. The very hairs of our head are numbered. He said, not one shall perish. Listen to this in Luke 21:18. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. I'm not saying this to be funny, but this is how complete I believe salvation is. I expect a full head of hair when it's over. I expect it. Not a head of your hair will perish. God has redeemed the whole you, and He's going to have you. He's going to have you. And you're never out of His sight, not even as long as it takes to blink an eye. Blink your eye, see how fast that is. You're not even out of His sight that long. But His ears are open to their cry. We have God's ear. So we have God's complete attention. Use it. Use it. Why does it take us so long to cry to our Father? Why does it take so long? I guess because so much sin still remains. I reckon so. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Those false teachers. Now don't just think that this is talking about a brothel or somebody that's in a drunken stupor. I tell you what, there'll be more evil tomorrow standing in the pulpit than in any bar. I guarantee you there'll be more evil done tomorrow in pulpits than in any dive out there. But the Lord is against them that do evil. And He's going to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You know, Psalm 1, after Psalm 1 describes the blessed man, it says, not so with the ungodly. Not so. One day He'll cut off their remembrance, and when their name is mentioned, you know what you and I are going to say? Who? Who? Their remembrance is going to be cut off. Their name is not going to be brought back up. You're not going to be cut off. Your remembrance of you, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But He said the wicked, the remembrance of them is going to be cut off. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivers him out of all his trouble. When they cry, He heareth and delivers them out of all their trouble. He never tires of hearing His children cry unto Him. Now that's different from murmuring. We're not talking about murmuring here. We're talking about when His children cry to Him for mercy, for grace, for help in time of need. He heareth them and delivers them out of all their troubles. And the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. This is one of the greatest things God can give to anyone. A broken heart over sin. Is there anything greater thing God can give you than a broken heart over sin? Why? It said because He saveth such. Let me be like that which He saves. Let me have that which He saves. God has never saved anyone whose heart He has not broken over sin. No, He hasn't done it. Any other kind of heart will keep you from the Lord. But a broken heart will cause you to run to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We don't deny that. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not one will do us in. Not one. He keepeth all His bones. No, not one of them is broken. We know this applies to Christ. We know this over in the Old and in the Gospels. But this can also be applied to us, the body of Christ. Not one of them will be broken. Listen. Now listen. The branch will always abide in the vine, no matter how rough the storm is. It'll never be broken off. Not one of them will be broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. His own evil shall slay him. And they that hate the righteous shall be guilty. What an awful word to hear. Guilty. Especially when God says it. And when He says it, you're in trouble. You're in real trouble. But the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants. And none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Why shall none of them that trust in Him be desolate or guilty? Because He redeemeth the soul of His servant. He paid the price. He suffered under the wrath of God. And He paid that sin debt, shed His blood. He redeemeth the soul of His servants. In Christ we are justified from all things in which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. This poor man's praise, this poor man's hope, this poor man's message, this poor man's comfort, this poor man's fear is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's who it is. That's who it is. And this should encourage any poor man or woman here to trust Him. To trust Him. Okay, Tom.